Chapter 25. This was it. For a month, Hedrock had delayed his reaction, waiting for new evidence. But now, reading Lucy's document, the conviction came. The unexpected turn of events that he had been waiting for was happening. What it was, he had no idea. He felt a tensed alarm, the fear that he was missing vital clues. But doubt he had none. This was it. Frowning, he reread the girl's statement. And it seemed to him then that Lucy was developing a negative attitude toward the weapon shops. It was not in what she had done, but that she felt her actions might be misinterpreted. That was defensive, and therefore bad. The hold of the shops on its members was psychological. Usually, when anyone wanted to break away, he was divested of vital memories, given a bonus depending on length of service, and shooed off with the blessings of the organization. But Lucy was a key contact during a great crisis. The conflict between her duty to the shops and her personal situation must not be allowed to become too disturbing. Hedrock frowned over the problem, then dialed the stat. Lucy's face came onto the screen, and Hedrock said earnestly, "I have just read your statement, Lucy, and I want to thank you for your cooperation. We appreciate your position thoroughly, and I have been asked," he worded it deliberately as if an executive group were behind what he was saying, "I have been asked to request that you hold yourself ready for a call from us night and day until the critical period is over. In return, the weapon shops will do everything in their power to protect your husband from any dangerous reactions that may result from what he is doing." It was no light promise. He had already handed the assignment over to the protective branch. Insofar as it was possible to protect a man in the imperial sphere, the job was being done. He watched Lucy's face casually, but intently. Intelligent though she was, she would never fully comprehend the weapon shop Isher war. It didn't show. No guns were firing. Nobody was being killed. And even if the weapon shops were destroyed, Lucy would not immediately notice the difference. Her life might never be affected, and not even the immortal man could say what the pattern of existence would be when one of the two power facets of the culture was eliminated. He saw that Lucy was not satisfied with what he had said. He hesitated, then, "Mrs. Clark, on the day you were married, you took your husband's callidity measurements and gave them to us. We have never told you the integrated result because we did not want to alarm you. I think, however, that you will be interested rather than anxious."
"They're special?" Lucy asked.
"Special?" Hedrock searched for adjectives. "Your husband's callidity at the time you measured him was the highest that has ever been recorded in the history of the Information Center. The index has nothing to do with gambling, and we cannot guess what form it will take, but that it will affect the whole world of Isher, we have no doubt." With troubled eyes, he gazed at her. The devastating aspect of the affair was that K.O. Clark was not doing anything. There he was, attached to the personal staff of the Empress, his movements accounted for by a host of spies. Well, almost all his movements. Several stat calls he had made from the palace had proved too private for interference, and twice he had slipped away from the palace and eluded his shadows. Minor incidents, they could scarcely account for the fact that, according to his calidetic measurement, what was happening now. The great event, whatever it was taking place, and not even the no-men of the shops were able to guess what it was. Hedrock explained the situation then. "Lucy," he said, "are you sure you have held nothing back? I swear to you it is a matter of life and death, particularly his life." The girl shook her head, and though he watched closely, her eyes did not change, showed not a trace of myopia. They widened, but that was another phenomenon. Her mouth remained firm, which was a good sign. It was impossible to tell definitely, of course, just by looking at her physical reactions, except that Lucy Rawl was not known ever to have taken evasive training. Where Robert Hedrock could lie without giving one of the known lie reactions, Lucy simply didn't have the experience or nerve control training to stifle the unconscious signals of her muscles.
"Mr. Hedrock," she said, "you know that you can count on me to the limit."
That was a victory for his immediate purpose. But he broke the connection dissatisfied, not with Lucy or with the other agents, but with himself. He was missing something. His mind was not seeing deep enough into reality. Just as the solution to the seesaw problem was eluding him, so now he was baffled by what must in reality be very apparent. Sitting here in his office, mulling over facts and figures, he was too far from the scene. It was clearly time for an on-the-spot investigation by Robert Hedrock in person.